So as you listen to this morning's gospel reading from Matthew, the fifth chapter, I ask you to do so with the following question in mind. How do the Beatitudes, the blessings that we have in Matthew chapter 5, form us as a community of faith? The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for the same way they persecuted prophets who were before you." The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you to reflect upon your word, to ponder what you have for us, that we might see you in our reflections and in your word and in one another. Lord, I ask that you bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning, our reading from the fifth chapter of Matthew, comes to us after a series of events in Jesus' life. Jesus, when we go back a little bit further, has been tempted by Satan. After his temptation, he begins his public ministry proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And then the next event that takes place, he calls his first disciples to be with him, to travel with him, to help proclaim the good news, the news of peace and hope in God. The gospel has come back to God and be at peace. Now, we have at the beginning of chapter 5 in the Gospel of Matthew, the crowds gathered together around Jesus and those first disciples joining them, and Jesus goes up on the mountain. He goes up on the mountain to teach. And all those who are gathered there, as we saw in chapter 4 in the calling of the disciples, with their own lives. They bring with them, as we bring with us when we come to church on Sunday mornings or go to Bible studies during the week or do our own devotions, they bring with them the toils of the day, the events of the day. Remember, these are the disciples and the crowds that gathered together who are living under the oppression of the Roman Empire. And for some, they're even under King Herod. And in the process of living into those conditions, like all of us, they're trying to do the basic things of life to earn enough money or produce enough crops to feed oneself, one's family, and to put a roof over their heads. Hasn't changed much in life. We all struggle to do that. Seems to be the toil of the day. Seems to be what happened after Genesis 3, and they kind of kicked us out of the garden. But as they toil along, they hear Jesus proclaiming to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And those words are the words that we hear this morning. And if we pause and reflect a minute about it, about our own things in life, what's taking place, there's a lot going on. There is a lot going on in our world. And there's so much going on that you might find yourself, I know I do at times, a bit exhausted or a bit overwhelmed. I mean, if you're to try to process all just the headlines of the news, this is what you're trying to process today. We have an impeachment trial going. We hear of several deaths, not just within our congregation, but of celebrities dying. We have the outbreak of the coronavirus. And yes, I did hear this week that some people thought it came from the beer. There's other illnesses that might come from that, or other ways that might make you ill from the beer. But yes, I actually heard that on a radio and people go, I can't believe it. And I guess Corona actually had to come out with an ad in certain parts of the country to calm those rumors down. But we also live in amongst rumors too, and speaking and all those things. And then on top of it, we even compete this morning. And kickoff is until what, 3:30? The Super Bowl. I mean, there's plenty of time to go to church. I mean, where are you going to worship, the Super Bowl or God? Anyways, I laugh about that, but because for some people, there's certain things they cannot do without, and one is those types of activities. But those are fellowship activities. It's a good time to gather together with one another and share life and celebrate life. There's a lot going on. Take a look at your own life. Take a look at just your daily routine. It might be young families, children going to school, children that are six, family that are six. Maybe you have your own health care and your own health concerns in life. Going to work, going to school, doctor's appointments. And that's just a few things going on in our lives. There's a lot going on in our world that's taking place. It's no wonder why we're exhausted and tired. We get no rest. I mean, how many notifications do you get on your smartphone? How many text messages a day or emails that you don't answer? There's a lot going on. You tired? Need a nap? I mean, let's be honest. Young children have it right. Kindergarten was the best. You play all morning, then you take a nap. Then you play, you know? It's easy to get exhausted. And then we add on top of that our life here together and what's happening with us. And it can become overwhelming. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded this past week of a time in my own family where it's easy to become exhausted and overwhelmed. You see, I had this bicycle accident, and I decided, you know, as the EMTs were working on me because I dislocated my left elbow in the accident, I called my wife to let her know that I wasn't going to be home at the normal time, and that if she could come pick me up at the hospital. In the process of that conversation, she goes, okay, that's fine. But what I didn't know is she then had to have a conversation with my daughters, particularly the older two, because they're supposed to go to youth group that night. And you can hear from them their own perspective on it. But what they were told or were asked was, do you want to go to youth group, which is on the beach with a cookout, or do you want to go to the hospital and sit with Dad? I lost. And actually, I think that was a better thing. Computers went down at the hospital, and when I was supposed to be discharged at 9 p.m., it wasn't until 3 that I got out of there. But they went to youth group, and a few members of the youth group prayed with them and took care of them during that time. Those times can become overwhelming for us in life, where we are at and what we are doing. We have all those things going on, and yet there's a lot of good things going on. Last Sunday, we had our annual meeting here. had our annual report to be read, and heard all good things that were taking place, that have happened within not just Hollywood press in the last year, but in the last 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. We celebrated our life together as a community, from counting down the top 10 favorite hymns that we had, to recognizing two of our gracious volunteers in David Peterson and Betty Pettit. We also, in the process of that time, celebrated life with one another and heard from the Berries and from Fred Brooks why they came to Hollywood Press and how they have been blessed by being here. You see, in the midst of everything that's going on, there's a lot of good that's taking place as God, through the Holy Spirit, is working in and through us. And those are just the small things of how we are blessed. We also talked at that time when we heard about the facilities condition assessment that was done in 2019, as we looked at our facilities, as we looked at the blessed facilities that we have and the great campus that we have and what we need to do for care and taking care of it. And it seems overwhelming, but it's a 20-year process. It's not a 1 year or 2 year. And we have to keep it in that perspective. It's 20 years that we work with our buildings and maintenance to keep it healthy and going, as to the glory of God, to be used to the glory of God, to reach out to people and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's all sorts of things going on that might be overwhelming with that, but in the midst of all of that that we heard at the annual meeting, we need to remember that no decisions have been made. It's a conversation with one another, that it's working together in the blessedness that God has given us, to go forth in prayer and proclaim God's gospel to the people in and around us. A part of that process you'll see during the month of February, and February is a really busy month. Don't be overwhelmed. We got the officer nominating committee asking you for nominations. I'm going to send you a letter to ask you to take a look at our vision as a church and the direction we're going. It's the same survey session filled out last fall. Your input matters, because you are a blessing to one another. In the same process, we're going to, as we talk about our campus and that vision process, we're going to have a short video made that you're going to be able to access through the website. At the same time, we're actually going to have sign-ups so you can take a campus tour with Barnaby and learn about all the good things that are happening here and how we use our facilities to the glory of God and their condition. We're even going to have town hall meetings so you can come sit and talk and share ideas. There's a lot of stuff going on, but we're not to be overwhelmed, because why? Because we are blessed in the process. We're blessed with all that is going on and what is taking place. Though it may seem overwhelming, there's no need for it to be overwhelming, because we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, who guides and directs us along the way. All of this is a process. All of it is prayerfully seeking God's vision for us, seeking God's call to us as followers of Jesus Christ, of who we are called to be as his people here at the corner of Gower and Carlos. We've received a great many blessings, and we celebrate each and every one of those blessings every Sunday with one another. So you may ask yourself, what does any of that have to do with the Beatitudes? Anybody got an answer? What does any of that have to do with the blessings that God has given us? What it has to do with the Beatitudes is to remember, first and foremost, that as followers of Jesus, we approach and interpret our lives through Jesus' blessing. Now, if we think about the Beatitudes, And I was raised, and a lot of reading I've done on this, these are ideals, and these are ideals that I need to obtain or attain in my life. I need to be this way. This is a characteristic or a virtue that I have to have. But that doesn't seem to me to be like a blessing. They are blessings. They start with blessed. God blesses us. Jesus blesses us in each and every one of those as we are a blessing to one another. As blessings, they are what form us as a community of faith. What forms us as a community of faith is the blessings of Jesus Christ, not the overwhelming tasks or exhaustion of living, but it's Christ's blessing in our lives. It is Christ that shows us the way. I was reminded that yesterday at Richard Mancini's memorial service. The blessing of his life upon not just his family, but of us as a community, of the cathedral choir and everything that he brought. Christ blessed each and every one of us in who he was and what he did and what was shared through Christ in all aspects of life. And as I mentioned earlier, we had other blessings that we heard about at our annual meeting on Sunday, last Sunday. How people have gathered together here to see God's presence and blessing and connected us with one another. It's in telling those stories and why we are gathered together that we are blessed, and God blesses each and every one of us. And so in the midst of all the things that are going on in our life, I want you to hear and look at the Beatitudes in a bit of a different way, in a way in which they are blessings of God that form us as a community of faith. Each and every one of us has been blessed with one of the blessings. You have been blessed. You are blessed. And if you look at the Beatitudes, what's interesting that I found about as I looked at them, because I never really noticed it before, was the first Beatitude says this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The last Beatitude that we read before it talks about going out into the world reads, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." All the Beatitudes in between are talking about what? If we're blessed here and this is in the kingdom of heaven, they're framed by what? The kingdom of heaven. Who's looking for the kingdom of heaven? You want the kingdom of heaven. You want peace, tranquility. And we have that as God has blessed us with that very quickly. A quick look at each of them. So the first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Humble spirit. Humble in spirit. Being like a child. One who has repented of their sin. Humble before God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Asking for repentance, mourning over one's sins, mourning over the sins of the world in which we live, mourning over and sharing the grief of another and being with them. It's enduring with one another and walking with one another in life. We do that all the time here. That is a blessing from God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. I'll appeal to Nelson this morning, and I'll quote Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer puts it this way in his Cost of Discipleship, that to be meek is to renounce all rights of one's own for the sake of Christ. When a Christian is berated, they are quiet. When violence is done to them, they endure it. When they are cast out, they yield. They do not sue for their rights. They do not make a scene when injustice is done them. Done them. They do not want rights of their own. They want to leave all justice to God. They suffer for the sake of others. Stand up for others, for their injustice. Otherwise, we take it on ourselves. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be fulfilled. In other words, the Greek word here for righteousness means upright, righteous, a right relationship with God, seeking God constantly in all that we do, and listening for God in our lives. To hunger and thirst. You've met those people. They're always hungering and thirsting and praying for others, which uplifts and sustains all of us as a community. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Show compassion. Show compassion. In the Lord's Prayer, what's one of the petitions that we pray? When we think about compassion, forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors. Compassion. Compassion. Recognizing something's gone wrong, recognizing that harm has been caused, but in compassion, moving towards forgiveness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Pure in heart, belonging only to God, recognizing that all begins and all is owned by God in our world, and we are caretakers. We are stewards of God's possessions and of God's world. Pure in heart is that simple heart of a child as they go about trusting parents and others, and so we are to trust our Lord. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called children of God. Where do we find peace? We find peace in Jesus. Jesus is our peace. And we bear the cross of Christ, for in that cross we find our peace and reside in Him. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the kingdom. In all those things that we go through, all that we see the kingdom of heaven. That living in the kingdom of heaven is compassion and mercy with one another and those around us. It is suffering for a righteous cause, suffering because righteous judgment and action by renouncing our own property and happiness and rights for others. This is the Sermon on the Mount that forms us as a community of faith, working and living together, a community that uplifts and sustains people of where we are at. It is the gift that we all have. Some may have more than one of the blessings. Some may have just one blessing. It's not something you take. You have been blessed. Blessed by Christ to live a life. And that is our diversity of people that we have. Each of the Beatitudes names a gift. And each and every follower of Jesus possesses one or more of the Beatitudes. They suggest the diversity of the gifts that we have within our community. And if you pause and look at the busyness of life, but of those stories that have been shared at memorial services, at annual meetings and all that, you see the blessing that God gives us through one another. God has blessed us. He has blessed us to be a community in faith as the body of Jesus Christ. And we know this because, as Matthew ends, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Him. All things begin and end in Christ. All things begin and end not by the cross, but on the cross where we live and reside in blessedness with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are called to be community, and we are called blessed. To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen.